entrance exam is a runaway success.
Yes, I got accepted.
But that's life. Some days you're the bug.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Denise and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And just like that, it's Wednesday.
Here we are, hump day. See, yeah. I said it first.
Yes, you did.
And it's a beautiful, typical gray Oregon fall day. I love it.
A little bit of sunshine would be nice.
No, I'm good.
Really?
I still have to look up that word for people who love rain. It begins with a P, anyway.
Well, I think it needs to rain and then give us some sunshine.
I'm hoping for snow. I'm hoping for a snow.
No,
I'm going to get hate mail on
really?
This. I'm hoping for snow. I don't. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I got to drive in that.
So do I.
All right.
But see, I'm from New England, so.
I'm from here. I can drive in the snow, yeah. But I don't like to because there's too many Californians driving around here.
It always boils down to the Californians.
Right?
So, Dave, have you been watching the impeachment hearings?
No.
Me neither. All right, we're done talking about that.
Yeah.
Somebody had asked me if we were going to talk about it. I'm like, no, I don't think we are. We have something much better to talk about. We have a very special guest today in the studio. His name is Reed Sund, and he is a candidate for Salem City Council Ward 7. Reed Sund, welcome to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave.
Well, it is great to be here, and thank you for having me on. I really appreciate
it. Yeah, it's good to have you. I've been kind of follow your social media. We'll talk a little bit about that and your family. But I wanted to have you on to give our listeners, we're kind of early in the process. The actual election for city council is really May. The May primary is kind of when it all kind of comes down, unless somebody else decides to jump in. Right now, there's two people in your race. But Reed, tell us a little bit about, you know, who you are, where you work, you know, who's Reed Sund?
All right. Well, that goes back a long time. Yeah, there's a lot there. But I will say I was born and raised here in Salem.
Ah. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes. And I went to Queen of Peace for elementary school, yeah. Judson Middle School. I was the first inaugural Judson Jaguar mascot.
You were actually the mascot?
I was, and that was after they transitioned from another mascot into the Jaguars. And so they approached me and said, do you want to be the Jaguar? And I said, yeah, that sounds fun. I was starting to kind of come out of my shell after Queen of Peace and, you know, in this large school.
Remember,
my sixth grade class had 12 kids in it. So coming to Judson, it was quite a shock.
Culture shock.
Yeah, so that was fun. I got involved in choir in middle school and drama. Mr. Tom Hewitt, my drama director.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
An idol of mine,
yes.
Still to this day. And then from there, I went to Sprague, go Olies.
Okay. Former Saxon here, but it's okay. We can still
my
talk.
My dad taught there for many years. I was involved in choir there as well, on the golf team, swim team, very involved with my church, Young Life in Salem. And which has a bigger meaning later on in my story. But so I graduated from high school in 2005 and then said, I am out of here. And I found a school on the beach in San Diego, literally right on the beach, Loma Nazarene. I could roll out of bed, walk about 100 yards and be in the water surfing, which was fun for a Oregon kid. So on these gray days,
I was going to say, used to this kind of weather.
I do sort of miss that continual 75 degrees and sunny.
Didn't get boring?
No, it really didn't. But now that I'm back, I love the weather here. Yeah. I actually do enjoy having the seasons back in my life.
It is nice.
I've missed them. So.
Yeah.
So I went to Point Loma, graduated with an accounting degree. I actually started out as a youth ministry degree.
Interesting.
And navigated around and ended up an accountant, which has... I always wonder how I got there, but I'm glad that I did because I really, really enjoy it and went to work for the federal government, was an auditor. I've been in healthcare finance my whole career. I earned my CPA certificate in California and then went on to work for a private firm that was actually based here in Salem. AKT was the name at the time, and now it's Altridge. And I went there and did some healthcare consulting. And along the way, I met my wife, Maggie. We met at a Young Life camp in Arizona and got married. And now we're back in Salem. About 2015, we were brought back to Salem to work at Salem Health, where my mom has worked for nearly 40 years. And I am currently the director of finance there. I started out as the controller, so I've been in the finance department. Really, really enjoy working there. Great team. Excellent team that produces really good results. We're the largest employer in Salem with over 4,000 employees, nearly $800 million annual operating budget, and lots of activity going on at Salem Health right now. We're expanding the campus.
I saw that, the purchase of the old Kmart property.
Yes, that will be used for some parking.
And then shuttling.
As we build a brand new patient tower on campus, so I got to participate this year in the bond financing for that project, which was good. And so I'm back. When I got back, I also got back involved in the community, specifically got involved with Isaac's Room, got to know Mark and Tiffany Bulgin, and that's been awesome. That one area of my life has been a really good window into some great people in Salem that are doing really, really good work and perspectives that I think we could listen to a little bit more at the leadership level here in the council, which we'll talk about. So I'm back. My wife and I have two little boys. Charlie is 3.5. Paul is 1.5. They're super cute.
They are.
Charlie is blonde haired. Paul is red hair after my mom, which is kind of fun. We always wondered, will we get a redhead? And yeah, we did. And he's super cute. And we're expecting a baby girl now. Our third and I don't know about final, but our third.
Never say never.
Yeah. And any day, really.
Yeah.
Hopefully not during the broadcast. So we'll see.
But if we come back and we're like, and it was good talking to Reed.
Yeah,
he had to go.
He had to leave. Yeah.
Well, that's fascinating. I think it's interesting that you grew up here, you went away, come back and realize that, you know, you really love the community. So getting back involved at the community level, kind of, you know, what was deciding to run for an office like city council? Number one, it's a volunteer position. You're not going to get rich being on, you know, no matter what people like to sit there, the fat cats and all. It's people that work, that have jobs, that, you know, retirees, it runs the gamut. So you've got a young family. So, you know, having that young family, I'm assuming obviously you've got buy-in. Your wife is 100% behind this because you need to have that family buy-in to do this.
Yes.
So really kind of walk us through what was your decision-making process to decide, you know what, I'm going to go for this.
Well, when I got back to Salem, I found that this is a great place to raise a family. Mm-hmm. And so as I started to get more involved, we thought, you know, we want to put our roots here. And we really have done that. And the people that I've gotten to know care deeply about Salem now, Salem in the future, where are we going? They want to see these roots grow deeper. We want to see Salem on the map. And my wife and I have really enjoyed raising our kids here, and we have no plans to go back to San Diego. Mm-hmm. Now, when we first moved here, we thought, okay, we'll just be here for a little bit and then we'll go back. But those days are gone. I think what's really, you know, after a few years and being in the budget and finance world, I thought, well, I'd like to get more involved in the city government. So what would that look like? Mm-hmm. So I looked online, and there happened to be a budget committee opening for, at the time, I was in a different ward, but I joined the budget committee. Mm-hmm. And then we moved, but another spot opened up and the city reached out. So last year was my first full cycle on the budget committee. And it gave me a little taste of the complexity and the issues we're facing coming down the pike of a growing city. Mm-hmm. And so I said, you know, if the opportunity ever presented itself, then I would go for it. My wife has known for a while that I would love to get into the political space because my favorite thing about anything I do is just working with people, honestly, and problem solving, rolling our sleeves up, listening to different perspectives. It's one of my favorite aspects of my job at the hospital. Mm-hmm. I've always had a well-balanced perspective. Be involved in the community, have a great family life, and work hard at your job. And so it's not any one thing. But the budget committee was a good experience, but I did find myself asking more questions and wanting to get more into the how do you impact some of this, because a lot of it is moving very quickly, and you know we're facing some challenges in the years ahead. So when the opportunity came up in Ward 7, I said, let's do it. And I'm excited to bring that balanced perspective, the eyes of a young family, the fiscal responsibility and financial acumen to the table, along with, like I said, the community members that I've met through my involvement in various things in Salem are really good people who care a lot about the future of Salem. And so listening to them.
Okay, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit more. I know you had to go around and knock on doors. You had to get some signatures.
Yes.
You've been talking to the community. So we're going to continue talking to, Reed Sund, who's running for Salem City Council in Ward 7. You're listening to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
And we are back. We are talking to Reed Sund, who is running for Salem City Council, Ward 7.
Brave man.
You know, stepping up to run for office, it's not easy.
Not for everyone.
It takes a lot of time. And I know you know that, a time and energy. Not as much, I think, as some people think. But it's a big commitment.
Yes.
And so, you know, in gearing up to do this, you had to get a certain number of signatures to qualify. You've been knocking on doors.
Yes.
You know, one of the questions I want to ask you, and I think people want to know, is number one, what makes you the best candidate for Ward 7? And what were you hearing on the doorsteps?
Well, I have enjoyed. So you have to get 50 signatures.
Yep.
And of course, they say to go above and beyond that in case some of them aren't valid.
Exactly.
So I'm at 58, actually, and I'm still going. I wanted to hit my whole neighborhood because I think it's important that they know that one of their neighbors is throwing their hat in the ring for this seat.
Specifically the people that you're representing, right?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm still out there and it's been a fun process. I would say, going door to door is not really easy for anybody because you never know what people are going to be doing and they always think you're selling something.
Right.
But people have, once they say I'm not selling anything and I'm, you know, I live in your neighborhood and I'm running for city council and I really like your support. The conversations are great. I have found that a lot of people are concerned with the same things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some slightly different nuances to those issues, mm-hmm. but at the same time, everybody is kind of focused on a lot of the same issues that we're facing in Salem. And so it's been good to, kind of validate that I'm focused on the right things.
Yeah, sure.
And that I'm listening to people. But it's also just been fun to meet people, and a lot of people invite me into their home and, ask me about why. I get that question a lot. Well, why do you want to do that?
With the face that you just made,
exactly.
Too, because it was like, really?
Yeah,
I know.
Right.
Why would you want to do that?
And I think, you know, on your point about the time,
yeah.
I think, yes, it's going to be a time commitment for sure. But at the end of the day, we're going to need people on council that are working, that are raising families, that are just being residents of Salem. To balance the perspective. So why do I think that I'm the best candidate to represent Ward 7 in Salem?
Yeah.
I think that we need common sense leadership.
Mm-hmm.
We need a balanced approach to government. We need to have people at the table of all different types of perspectives.
Yeah.
So the current council has that in some senses, but what I bring to the table of the young family, knowing that I chose to come back to mm-hmm. plant roots here,
mm-hmm.
the future I see and hope to see for Salem, that I would like my kids to brag about Salem, to raise their kids in Salem.
Yeah.
I think that is important to me. I'm comfortable with complex issues. Like I said, the hospital is a very complex enterprise. Financially speaking, we're dealing in large numbers and complex issues that I love to get into the weeds. We won't get into that too much right now, but
I'm in a glaze.
Right,
it's like, oh, no.
And numbers and glaze
see,
me
see, we
over.
Need somebody like you who likes that and thinks that's fun to
I
do that.
I do. I think I think that's very fun. And so we need that. We need the common sense approach. And we need someone who is listening to the community, all parts of the community.
Mm-hmm.
So bringing those perspectives of the great people that are doing nonprofit work in
mm-hmm.
Salem
mm-hmm.
that are really working hard to deliver excellent quality results for different areas of our community. And the relationships I've built in the last 4 years in Salem have brought exactly that. And I think we need that at the table.
Well, you know, you get the business community, you've got the residents, and in each constituency group has, you know, and maybe a little bit different nuance on some of the different issues. Are there any ones that kind of bubbled up to the surface that were kind of constant issues that, regardless of ideology, regardless of what letter is behind your name, these right, were issues yes. that just kept coming up?
Yeah, there definitely was. I would say the three things that came up and continued to time and time again were homelessness mm-hmm. in Salem, infrastructure, and specifically the third bridge.
Yeah.
The decision mm-hmm. by council last mm-hmm. year on the third bridge, that has come up on almost every doorstep. And from all people from all walks of life. And, you know, I live in South Salem.
Yeah.
Again, Ward 7, you know, encompasses Southwest Salem, but I live at the very end of Skyline there at the tip of Salem that was once not even know, a part of the city.
It was out in the boonies back in the day.
Right. And and so we're far away. So the idea that South Salem is, oh, you know, that we don't really care that much about an additional bridge, and it's really not true. I think it impacts everyone.
Yeah.
And so that has come up over and over again. And then the budget, knowing that and not so much, you know, what's going on with the budget, but we have an operating fee that's been proposed and, mm-hmm. and is looking to be moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And the payroll tax that will be on the ballot in May. Those two things alone, depending on, you know, your income and really for everybody can be quite significant. And that's on top of a lot of things that have been coming down the pike, right? Oregon, the corporate activity tax, that's adding to rates. The school bond measure, which I am 100% supportive of schools, of course, that in my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at some point you're kind of asking, okay, here we are, and are we just going to keep being in the same place with the same leadership, or do we need to pivot? And is there opportunities that we're not looking at? And I think it's worth asking that question.
It seemed, was it the last election cycle, there were so many hands out for taxpayer money that there was a little bit of fatigue, I think, on the part of the taxpayer.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about there's complex issues, the operating fee, the payroll tax, things that are going through. I know you've been attending city council meetings and the gallery and watching. You're going to be faced, you win the election, you're sitting in that seat. You're going to be faced with a lot of these issues as well, issues that affect people's lives. I mean, and that, you know, I think the gravity of that, you get that. And anybody sitting in those seats gets that. What's the lens that you look at through, you know, when you're making decisions on these issues that are critical to that, you know, they impact people's lives?
Well, I think we need to understand the perspectives that were considered in the decision-making process. So did we consider all perspectives?
Mm-hmm.
And if so, what was the forum for doing that? What data did we learn? What metrics are we going to use? So I'm a big metrics guy, and I've mm-hmm. learned as I've been adopted into the leadership style at Salem Health, which has been a huge asset to myself personally and in my career, that we have to be metrics driven in everything we do. So we need clear and concise data on where are we today and where do we want to be. And then as we're moving along the progress there, how are we doing according to those metrics? And so part of that is the transparency. So I think we need to understand the perspectives of different people at the table. We need to understand, does the community at large truly understand how we got here
mm-hmm.
and what we're facing and the plan that we have and where the money's going to go? So if you're proposing new taxes or fees that are called fees but really are just an additional tax,
mm-hmm.
then do people by and large understand the direction we're heading and where this money is going to be invested? So I think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
There's a different, you know, we're looking down the pike of the operating fee coming out in 2020, but then the payroll tax on the ballot. So then people are saying, well, why is it different? And so those are the kinds of questions that I think we need to be asking. And again, having measurable, metric-driven processes, problem-solving through that lens, I think is very important.
I find that refreshing. I see a lot of times emotions tend to drive issues, and you don't make the best decisions when you're emotional, when you're fearful, when you're upset. And I tend to stand behind, and you know, in my work, I like to let the data tell the story, because pretty often the numbers do tell the story, and you can kind of separate out and drill down into those things. And to me, I appreciate that mindset in looking at it.
But I feel like there's a new tax that needs to be come in.
See, the key word there is you feel.
See?
And on the data, you know, the resident satisfaction survey, we saw the results come out. And it's just another clear picture of, well, when the data's in front of you, you can see that people are less optimistic. And so, again, it's all about the why. Why do I want to run? Well, I would love for people to be more optimistic about the future of Salem. So are we going to do more of the same, or are we going to pivot here and make some changes? They might not be easy changes. Not everybody's going to get what we want, right?
But we would.
I think everybody can agree that we want people to be more optimistic, not less optimistic.
Definitely. And you know, you follow social media, and you kind of, which is a snapshot, a little microcosm of what's happening out in the larger community. I'm seeing a lot more negativity. I'm seeing stories that are posted about things that the city of Salem is doing, and almost invariably the comments skew negative.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, you know, when did that shift happen? I have my own opinion on when that shift happened, and I'm sure others may agree or disagree with me on that.
I think part of that is because of this. Have you seen, what's the last positive thing that you've seen the city do? Come on now. What was the last positive thing?
Well, that's a gotcha question, Dave.
Yeah, I know, right? But
do you want me to? Yeah.
But see, there's the problem.
Yeah.
Right? The perception of the city council right now is they haven't done anything positive for the city. They're raising taxes. They killed the bridge. They banned the bags. They're working on the straws. Things outside their purview.
Hmm. Right.
Do something positive for the city that's in your job, not things that are not.
Right, and tell the story so that people understand that we might have to make some difficult decisions, but where are we heading generally?
Yeah.
Same thing the mayor said on Tuesday last week.
What did he say?
He said that specifically, where are we going?
Yeah.
And explain it. And he talked about the tax, too, that he feels that any tax that's put to the people needs to go to the voters because that's representation.
And what we're seeing is 6-3 votes on this. You've got three that are kind of in this camp that you're talking about, and then the other six that is kind of making the decisions for the rest of the city, which has been frustrating. And I have to say, I think that coincides with the numbers dipping in as far as optimism in the city.
Yeah.
So we're going to take another quick break, Reed. I want to have you come back, and we're going to talk kind of a little bit more about what we've been talking about here, and then let's dig into some issues, you know, that you think are the most pressing issues, what you might have on the, you know, your plan to tackle those.
Right.
But first, we're going to take that break. You're listening to Wednesdays with Dave and Denise on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Now, back to Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Horn, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions in the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Thanks, Rich.
Thanks, Rich. Welcome back, everybody. We are talking in studio today with Reed Sund. He's running for Salem City Council Ward 7. Reed, we kind of left. We were talking about kind of the dissatisfaction surveys. Let's turn this back around positive, because there's a lot going right in Salem.
Yeah.
Salem is awesome, and I'm going to give you a chance later on to talk about that, because I believe it, too. I love this town. I've been here a long time. But there are pressing issues.
Yes.
We do have challenges. You know, you talked to people on the doorstep. They gave you some input and some ideas. But based for your perspective, why you're running, what are the most pressing issues to you?
So I think that, you know, just like my neighbors and my community and the people that I've talked to, it really boils down to those three issues that I referenced earlier. And that really was the three issues: homelessness, the budget, and infrastructure.
Yeah.
Those were the three issues that I knew going into gathering signatures that I really do care about, because these are fundamental issues that impact everyone every day, and that the city council actually can impact.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That the council can make a difference in the livability of everybody's lives day to day. And how do we move around our city, and who moves here, and how do we respond to that growth, and how do we take care of our friends and neighbors that are on hard times, that are in the homeless community? I mean, these are real issues right in front of us, and so I think, you know, if we start with the homeless, you know, the homeless population in Salem, first of all, these are people. And I said this in my interview for the appointment for Ward 7, which I didn't get, but it was a good opportunity to be asked a lot of these questions and to have...
Because each of the counselors had a question for you. And
None of which were on the pre-prepared questions I noticed. Sent in advance, but that's okay.
Every one of them went off script on that.
Yeah, they did. So, but the homeless issue, these are people in our community.
Yes.
The thing that I would want to focus on, and I really do want to focus on in this campaign, is the great work that's being done on behalf of these people and our friends in the community. So, the Union Gospel Mission is expanding. Hope has a new address, doubling in capacity, investing in the sobering center, the medical respite center, which Salem Health has been a part of, population health which is kind of a term in healthcare of how do we really manage the healthcare utilization of people in our community and improve that, and how does that impact our homeless population? Intensive care management for people who really need it.
Yeah.
Those are things that are happening here in our community. The warming centers, yesterday Cindy from Salem Health was here on the radio and she talked about Community Action Agency and listed off a bunch of things that they're doing through Arches and Salem Leadership Foundation, the partnerships that are occurring. So these are the voices that and the perspectives that I really think need to be at the table when we're talking about problem solving. But at the end of the day, you also have to consider the fact that a vibrant, growing city needs to have a vibrant downtown. Mm-hmm. And I love downtown Salem. When I was here, growing up, it was very different than when I left and I came back. It was like a time warp.
Right.
You got places that are open on Sundays. I mean, just that, right? But really, there's some cool spots down there. And I think we need to recognize that these business owners that are impacted by the homeless population, it's not that anybody is trying to do wrong by anyone.
I think
we want to get people to services quicker, but I also think we need to recognize that behavior is behavior. It's not a person thing. It's, hey, I can't do this, and I don't think that we should not set boundaries just because it is a sensitive issue. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to deal with that. But these business owners are also the same people that sit on boards for all the organizations that I just listed.
Mm-hmm.
They are the people who are showing up at the fundraisers, at the events. They're the ones supporting the community that is coming alongside this population that's on hard times. So I think we got to recognize the investment that they're making, but also keep downtown moving forward. So that's one thing that I do believe in and would voice throughout this campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So and everyone I've talked to, I don't know if you want to call it the campaign trail, but
sure,
up
why
and
not?
Down my street, they agree that something has to be done. So the council has a decision to make on the sit-lie ordinance coming up here soon.
We talk about what's happening. We're seeing this happening on the West Coast. It's worse in some other cities.
Yeah.
And I think Salemites are seeing what's happening in, say, Portland or Olympia. And I don't think we have a unique opportunity here to kind of learn from those other cities' mistakes and whatever, and to not go down that same path for everybody involved.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's encouraging to hear that.
Yeah. So that's that. And I think it can't be stressed enough. And so I look forward to meeting with representatives from all of those organizations and hearing the different perspectives because I by no means have the solution. I often say I am not the smartest guy in the room, but I like to figure out how to plug the right people into the right place. So that's the way I would tackle that issue. The other thing, and we talked about this a little bit, is infrastructure.
Yeah.
So Ward 7, roads, sidewalks, the way that people move about, this is important from a day to day as those decisions, because it's not often at council that we're faced with big, large, bridge-like decisions, Costco-like decisions, these kinds of things. But there's lots of little things along the way that really aim to improve the livability of our residents. So Ward 7 is no different. And I can see that, there's issues that we need to address in getting people around town. But on infrastructure, when we're talking about what's the biggest opportunity that Salem has now and for the future, I think as I've learned and feel that a lot of people were disappointed with the decision to not move forward on the Salem River Crossing project, I think that comes from a place of now we have all this work that is sort of left on the table.
Yeah.
And ultimately, the support from the surrounding counties and cities was evident. It was clear that this needed to happen.
Yeah.
I'm not a land use expert. I wasn't on council. I can't speak to the specifics about this or that. but I can say that people were disappointed, and it shows again. That is not a good place to be. So let's focus on how do we get people to be less disappointed in the future by putting some real plans in place to improve that. So the bridge was one of those things. And ultimately, you know, the economy is good,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Unemployment is low.
Mm-hmm, it is.
The market is good. Jobs are there and people are doing well, yet we're in a place of adding new taxes. So we've kind of had, so this is the third piece, which is the budget.
Yeah.
The operating fee, the payroll tax, the rising cost of city services. That, you know, one little, because I do have to go in the weeds just a tiny bit.
Okay,
in the current
right.
year budget, the increase in the cost of PERS
yeah.
was 28.1%.
Ouch.
Wow.
So we have to realize that this is the challenge we're facing. But at the same time, the economy is the best it's ever been. Unemployment is low. And we're adding taxes. So something doesn't add up.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the story that people need to sort of tune into and ask the questions. We got to take the budget on the road is something that TJ Sullivan said at a recent council
yeah.
meeting. And I like that.
I like that too. I watched and I heard him say that. So what does that mean to you? Take it on the road, literally taking it on and talking to people and breaking it down, demystifying it,
understanding what's coming in, what's going out, what work has been done. You know, people say, well, you should just be more efficient. Okay, well, what work has been done? What hasn't been done? We're not going to be able to do that if having things on the ballot in May, like the payroll tax, mm-hmm. creates a natural opportunity to do that,
yeah.
to make the case. And if leadership and the council are convinced, based on the work that has been done, that this is what needs to be done, then there should be no problem making that case to the community on the for the election and for the ballot measure. So we'll see where that goes.
Yeah.
But I think it also creates that level of transparency that people really want to just have it broken down for them and understand the main drivers.
And to have trust in the information that's being presented to them too. Because again,
yes.
like I'm seeing in sort of in my travels out there, the trust level is not as high as it could be.
Right.
So there is
Lacking.
Room for improvement. I'm being generous here. I'm being, you know, very diplomatic. But it's low. I mean, if you just do a random sampling of what people are commenting on out there on social media, it's low. So there's a lot of opportunity to rebuild that, to gain that trust. And I like the idea of taking the budget. You know, I don't know whether it'd be interesting to see how you would put that together and to make it something interesting for your average person who's not a number person, pointing at myself
very strong over here.
Well, I think Salem's been here before and we can learn from those opportunities. But at the end of the day, to your point, this campaign and between now and May, we have a real opportunity to be positive about what we can do to improve satisfaction, to improve optimism. Nothing about looking back and being, you know, we can focus on some of those things for a short while to reground ourselves
yes.
that this is the issue that we're facing. But I think that we have a real opportunity to focus on the positive things we can do to help pivot Salem in a better direction.
And I would say maybe two bridges now, one north, one south. Think about it. We'll take a break.
Yeah, we are going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and we are going to focus on the positive and some things and close out on a high note. So you are listening to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back, everybody. We are talking to Reed Sund, a candidate for Salem City Council Ward 7. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the pressing challenges, things like that. It was a serious discussion because there are serious issues that are facing us in the city of Salem. But there's also a lot of really great, cool stuff that's going on
there
in Salem.
Is.
And you said, you know, you grew up here, you went away for a while, you came back, and you realized that Salem is pretty darn awesome.
It is.
Why is Salem awesome to you? What's awesome about it to you, Reed?
And that word, awesome, I'm sure you've seen the hashtag, Salem is awesome,
mm-hmm.
make Salem awesome.
Yep.
There's, you know, shirts and logos.
It's on the wall at Bow and Vine, I think,
Vine,
on their
exactly.
mural there,
and
yeah.
And so I think we need to, A, realize that Salem is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
and that we can make it even more awesome. But what I've being back and having it be sort of this, again, like I said, a time warp after I left, the one thing I'll say is the Riverfront Park area in downtown is such a cool asset to our town. I mean, you look at Salem kind of from an aerial view, and what a great opportunity. We're right on the river. Yeah. We've got this really cool park downtown. Now we've got this bridge, which I love the bridge. I love that it connects Minto. Mm-hmm. You know, we live in South Salem, so we can park at Minto and come across the bridge and play in the park there. There's so much opportunity for that riverfront area.
Yes.
You know, the parkfront building down there, the Rotary Amphitheater that's going to be going in.
Even just the Eco Earth, and I'm glad it's getting a little revival. I mean, we were involved in the Eco Earth back in the day. I have a couple tiles on there, and it's looking a little tired, so I'm glad it's getting a little perk up.
Yeah. And the pathway, the daylighting of the creek there, and eventually being able to walk from Riverfront Park all the way up through Bush Park and beyond. I mean, that is cool. And I think I believe that we should invest in those things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that in order to do that, right, you got to have a growing, vibrant community that responds to the growth, that invests in sustainable infrastructure that will drive people here, that will create jobs. You know, the convention center is great.
Yes.
But really the downtown area, seeing that we're putting up more housing, there's restaurants and nightlife that is really buzzing. On a Saturday night, if you go out downtown, I mean, from Taproot to Venti's to the Coin
Jam. Just the dining scene. I mean, the restaurants that are coming in.
Yeah. There's a new food hall coming in that's going to be like a community base with different vendors in there across from Ritter's. All you know, the new coffee shops, of course, shout out to Isaac's downtown, best coffee shop in downtown. So this is, you know, that's sort of the hub of Salem. But that's just one piece of it. I think what makes Salem awesome, and I said this earlier, is the people.
Yeah.
The people that I've met that are involved in doing the work for the community, the people involved in Isaac's Room, the people involved in the Y, the people involved in Union Gospel Mission that care deeply about the people here today and now and in the future, I think speak volumes. The fact that we have a community that wants to invest in a future of Salem. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of towns across the country just can't say that.
Mm-hmm.
People have given up. And I don't want us to get there. And we're not anywhere close there. We are focused on a vibrant future. And so let's do more of that. Let's bring out, you know, the art scene, the music scene, all of that. You know, I love the idea of getting the airport going again.
Oh, I know.
And
oh,
making Willamette Valley the future Napa of Oregon. I mean, we're right at the hub of it, right? I mean, just down the street at Willamette Valley Vineyards and all throughout the valley.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people, if you travel to a place, then you're more likely to attract people in the future of moving here. And then we need to do the work to make sure we're ready for that growth beyond what we know is already coming. But again, I think just the downtown scene, the parks, the opportunity we have from a seasonal perspective here of being positioned in the valley of the beach is an hour away,
the mountains.
Are now all that. We're just a great place to live, and we're big enough that we can have exciting things, but we're small enough that we can be nimble and we can make the changes quickly if we need to get on the right track. So we're I think there's a lot of opportunity there, and I love it here.
We still have that small town feel, that it still doesn't feel like a big city, even though we are the second largest city in Oregon. Sorry, Eugene, but I think in the last census we're number two.
At least they don't roll up the sidewalks anymore.
And back in the day, I know when I was a younger person, they did. And Salem was lame back then. That was what everything was, and we turned it over. My son, born and raised here, grew up here. He went to school here. Doesn't want to leave.
Yeah.
Has no desire to leave and go someplace else. He wants to plant his roots here.
Yeah.
And I think that's wonderful. And I'd like to see that for your sons and your daughters coming soon, where they want to stay here because this is a great city.
Yeah. And I'll say we have friends visit because, you know, we left a great community down in San Diego when we moved up here. And when they come to visit, it's awesome. We go out downtown, we go around the town to the different parks, the carousel, all these places, and they're like, wow, this is a really cool place to be, and they go back excited. And I've had a lot of them visit multiple times, which, I mean, you could say that it would be easier for me to just go down, right? You got the beaches, the sunshine, all that. But we have a really cool vibe in Salem that we really got to tap into and build on. And I look forward to learning more about what makes people tick and what is the driving sort of motivation of all different perspectives that I haven't had the experience of getting to know as much during this process, and really just collaborating to make Salem even more awesome.
Very cool. I love that attitude. I mean, it comes across loud and clear that you love this city. And I think that right there is the first prerequisite for running for Love the City.
Yeah.
If people listening, you know, are excited, want to learn more about you, do you have a website? Do you have some contact information where they can go and learn more about you? Maybe dig a little bit deeper into some specific issues?
So right now we have a Facebook page set up, Read Sun for Salem.
Okay.
And the website is under construction.
Okay.
But it's going to be readsun.com.
Okay.
So pretty simple.
Okay.
And so we're building that out. And so that'll be up and live probably in the next couple of days. But Read Sun for Salem is the Facebook page. And I try to post there and interact with people and just use that as a platform. I think social media is a great way to connect and learn about where people are coming from, and so I will use that that platform throughout the campaign.
Yeah, it's a great way for people to interact with you, because I mean you're one guy, you can't be every place. I mean even knocking the doors, 50 doors doesn't seem like a lot, but it takes a lot of time. You've got a full-time job and a family, so you feel pretty confident you're going to be able to do that work-life family balance, volunteering balance as you step up, because I know you're involved already in the community. So
I'm ready.
Yeah.
I think, like I said, you have to A, realize that we're going to need to bring people to the table that have these other commitments, because these are the perspectives of most of Salem.
Yeah.
And so we want that. But also, we need to be efficient. So I by no means am going to be the city, if I'm elected, the city councilor that's at the most meetings all the time throughout the week, right? We got to be efficient with our time.
Absolutely.
And that's what I expect out of those that I vote for is to really voice the concerns of the community, to focus on the future, be efficient with the time that we have, and deliver, right? Metrics driven results. And so that's my plan. But I'm also a really great multitasker, and I love being busy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a great supportive wife at home.
And that's important.
Yes.
You've got to be a team on this. You've got to be a team, because it is a commitment.
It's foundational.
It truly is. And what I'm seeing, you know, I'd like to see, you know, the government, when it shows up, the people that show up tend to drive things. I'd like to see more, like you said, more people at the table. Tends to be, you know, the people that can get down there and be heard, because you guys as city councilors, you can't read people's minds, and you need to have that communication. It sounds like you're already on the path towards, you know, broadening out those relationships that you have.
Yep, that's my hope, and that's the plan as we move forward into this next campaign season.
Awesome. Well, Reed Sund, candidate for Salem City Council Ward 7, thank you for taking time out of your day.
Thank you. I really
for coming in and
it.
Visiting with us. I hope people will check you out and learn more about you. We're going to say goodbye for now. We've got a couple minutes, though, Dave, before we wrap up. What do you think?
Hmm. I'd like to see another bridge. No, two more bridges.
See, and I think that's going to be an issue on the campaign. I really do. I think for everybody running for this, I think the infrastructure of the bridge is going to be an overarching one. And then perhaps potentially, you know, putting some more things on the ballot for Salemites to have a say in how much they're taxed.
Yeah. Lots of taxes.
Yeah.
And as Reed said earlier, not really seeing the result from it.
Yeah.
You know, what is that tax going for? And how come we're not seeing better things?
Yeah, I agree.
Police, fire, streets,
the city
water,
sewer, the purview.
All the stuff in the city council's purview needs to be addressed.
Yeah, and instead of broader, more national issues like, I don't know, like the impeachment hearings that are going on that neither you nor I are watching.
Or, you know, the air quality or something.
Well, you know, I was having a conversation earlier with somebody today about our air and our is just as it's beautiful. It's better than it's ever been. So
absolutely.
I'm not quite sure why all the panic and all the agitation.
Smile.
Smile. It's good. Thanks, Dave. Good.
You bet. See you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.